Now, women were not just campaigning for a chance to vote in the early 20th century, but really for the right to just take up their place in the world. And women in science had particular problems, largely stemming from the ideas of some leading male biologists. But the outbreak of the First World War did at least give them some opportunities. Dr. Patricia Farrer is the president of the British Society for the History of Science and the author of a book called A Lab of One's Own, Science and Suffrage in the First World War. She was a physics graduate but returned to university to study the history and philosophy of science. Angela Saini is a science journalist and the author of Inferior, How Science Got Women Wrong and the New Research That's Rewriting the Story. She has a master's degree in engineering. I talked to them both, and first of all, you can hear from Angela explaining exactly what Charles Darwin thought about women.
When I was writing Inferior, I went to Cambridge University Library and I found this wonderful set of correspondence between Darwin and a woman called Caroline Kennard, who was part of the women's movement in Boston at the time. And she had heard at one of these meetings that Darwin had written in his work that women were inferior to men, and she just didn't believe it. So she wrote to Darwin. It's a beautiful letter, very short, neat, simple, asking him to correct this misapprehension that people had about his work. And he wrote back and said, while he thought that women were morally superior, so take some comfort in that, women were intellectually inferior. He really did believe it. And it ran all the way through his published work as well as his private correspondence. And he rationalised it in quite an odd way because he was so thorough and careful in other aspects of his science. But when it came to women, he looked at the world around him, saw that women weren't achieving as much, and just assumed that this reflected some biological fact.
Well, tell me a little bit about the restrictions on women at this time, Patricia.
At the beginning of the First World War?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them couldn't go to university because they had to study science because they hadn't even studied science at school. When they got to university, they found they couldn't go to a lot of the classes. They couldn't go to practical classes, in particular if it was to do with anything remotely biological. They had to sit in special places in the lecture theatre. Women quite often weren't allowed to lecture in front of mixed audiences. They had to live in special places. At Oxford and Cambridge at the beginning, they had to be chaperoned, and the colleges were way outside the centre of town. It was a really, really hard life. And quite often, the justification for refusing them a place was, well, a woman's never done this before, therefore a woman can't do it now. That was the sort of logic that was applied quite often.
Segment 1. Now, women were not just campaigning for a chance to vote in the early 20th century, but really for the right to just take up their place in the world. And women in science had particular problems, largely stemming from the ideas of some leading male biologists. But the outbreak of the First World War did at least give them some opportunities. Dr. Patricia Farrer is the president of the British Society for the History of Science and the author of a book called A Lab of One's Own, Science and Suffrage in the First World War. She was a physics graduate but returned to university to study the history and philosophy of science. Angela Saini is a science journalist and the author of Inferior, How Science Got Women Wrong and the New Research That's Rewriting the Story. She has a master's degree in engineering.
Segment 2.
I talked to them both, and first of all, you can hear from Angela explaining exactly what Charles Darwin thought about women.
When I was writing Inferior, I went to Cambridge University Library and I found this wonderful set of correspondence between Darwin and a woman called Caroline Kennard, who was part of the women's movement in Boston at the time. And she had heard at one of these meetings that Darwin had written in his work that women were inferior to men, and she just didn't believe it. So she wrote to Darwin. It's a beautiful letter, very short, neat, simple, asking him to correct this misapprehension that people had about his work.
Segment 3.
And he wrote back and said, while he thought that women were morally superior, so take some comfort in that, women were intellectually inferior. He really did believe it. And it ran all the way through his published work as well as his private correspondence. And he rationalised it in quite an odd way because he was so thorough and careful in other aspects of his science. But when it came to women, he looked at the world around him, saw that women weren't achieving as much, and just assumed that this reflected some biological fact.
Segment 4.
Well, tell me a little bit about the restrictions on women at this time, Patricia.
At the beginning of the First World War?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them couldn't go to university because they had to study science because they hadn't even studied science at school. When they got to university, they found they couldn't go to a lot of the classes. They couldn't go to practical classes, in particular if it was to do with anything remotely biological. They had to sit in special places in the lecture theatre. Women quite often weren't allowed to lecture in front of mixed audiences. They had to live in special places. At Oxford and Cambridge at the beginning, they had to be chaperoned, and the colleges were way outside the centre of town. It was a really, really hard life. And quite often, the justification for refusing them a place was, well, a woman's never done this before, therefore a woman can't do it now. That was the sort of logic that was applied quite often.